Finally, we come to the baby. For weeks, we've listened to the prophets sharing their visions of the ideal king, delivering his people from oppression, establishing prosperity and peace, ruling with justice and righteousness of God. We've seen and heard of Mary and Joseph visited by angels, presented with a frightening and a difficult choice, submitting to the will of God, journeyed with them to the little town of Bethlehem, and found no room, no place to welcome the child, but the baby will find a place to be born. Because when it is time, a baby doesn't wait. So finally, we come to the baby. Now, what child is this? On one level, he's just another baby born to the poor, another Israelite, another carpenter's kid. But of course, there is so much more here. Not just another baby. But you know, every baby born is special. I had a friend in South Carolina who told me one time that he thinks that every new baby looks an awful lot like Dwight Eisenhower. You need to remember what he looked like, yeah. But a year or so after that, he and his wife gave birth to a baby, a little girl, bald, wrinkling, smelled kind of funny, and she smirked a lot. She did look an awful lot like Dwight Eisenhower, I got to tell you. His response, isn't she beautiful? Isn't she beautiful? And you know, the truth is, she continues to be. The week previous, we were very fortunate to welcome Marshall into our family. Marshall is 7 pounds, 3 ounces. Yes, 7 pounds, 3 ounces. I always get to make sure to check on the ounces. We have a brand new grandbaby. And we're going to go over there for Christmas Day with a brand new grandbaby, and then Harvey, our older grandbaby, is 3. This baby's changing everything. You know, when we get there, when we leave, what we do while we are there, well, everything changes. Now, the fact that he is by far the most beautiful baby ever born on the planet is not really anything. But truly, there is no such thing as an ugly baby. But what is so beautiful? Innocent, dependent, the future wide open with possibilities. Maybe Marshall will be a lawyer like his dad, or a doctor, or a scientist. Maybe he will be the one that will find the cure. Maybe this will be the one that leads our people into greatness through politics. Maybe this will be the one. Nothing changes a couple's life, like the birth of a baby. For 9 months, everything's focused on that, isn't it? Everything's focused on the bird, on the baby. The mother watches what she eats, takes nutrition classes, takes classes on childbirth, breathing lessons, visiting the doctor for checkups, tests, worrying about any defects, any kind of miscarriaging. It's a difficult journey. I tell you guys, every time that I watch somebody go through that, I am so thankful that I am a guy. I don't mean that in any way because what women go through to create, we would call Rosie up and I say, so what you doing? And she said, nothing. I said, I think you're probably doing something. Today you probably made a kidney, you know, because that's what she was doing, getting ready to create life. But you get everything ready. You paint the nursery. You buy, you borrow a baby bed. You gather all kinds of clothes and towels. There's a lot of stuff left over from Harvey. But you know, you want new things as well. And all the equipment. It's got to be in pastel colors, of course. Blues, pinks, sometimes yellows. But even when everything seems to be ready, you're never, ever really ready, are you? And if it's your first child, you can never be ready. You cannot possibly realize just how much everything is going to change. And so those parents focus so much on the birth, but of course that's just the beginning. Prospective parents will often romanticize about having babies, but giving birth is messy and painful and dangerous. And they discover pretty quickly that dirty diapers and spells of colic, there's no romance in that. They learn no matter what they are feeling, they have to do what it takes to make the world a fit place for their baby. It's hard work, and the emotional, the physical parts of it, the newborn takes over a couple's life, and nothing is ever the way that it was before. It's ironic. Although it is totally helpless, a baby controls everything in the household. I've heard young couples speak of when they, quote, were single, meaning when they didn't have children. They divide their lives together into B.C. and A.D., you know, before child and after delivery. Yeah. And the first few months, their circadian rhythms are totally disrupted, and time just for the two of them is almost non-existent. Almost as non-existent as a good night's rest. And all the household energy, everything focuses on the newborn. And, of course, parents take to the task. They do it willingly. And I've rarely heard of a couple who regretted their decision to have a child, at least not most of them. And, well, any that I have heard, they were teenagers at that point. So that's a little, yeah, that'll change it. People are changed by parenting. They see the world differently. For when they get more conservative, suddenly the world seems a dark and dangerous place. The boogeyman is lurking around every corner. One guy I knew went from the occasional use of marijuana to advocating for capital punishment for any drug dealers after his child was born. And at the same time, they get more liberal, more forgiving of the mistakes of those around them, more understanding of the real realities of life, of the human struggle, and they become more generous in their loving. Parenting services qualities in people they never knew they had. At one of our Presbyterian camps, this one is up in South Carolina, Camp Fellowship, they gave the children one summer a task. They gave them an egg, just regular egg, not hard-boiled, it was regular egg. And they told them, you need to take care of this as if it is your baby. Well, the kids took it seriously. First of all, the boys, most of them cracked theirs. No, they weren't misusing, but they were doing what dads do, right? We're the ones who say, you can do it, you can go, you can make it happen, go do it. And so some little roughhousing, and unfortunately, many of the eggs cracked, okay? But moms, they're the ones who say, be careful, you know. That's one of the differences. Dads say, go do it, mom says, be careful. The girls took it so seriously, one of them had to go home because she got a crack in hers. They put together little babysitting circles to watch out for their eggs while they were doing other things, and one of the girls would stay back. It was absolutely amazing to see, because having a baby will quickly show whether you are a nurturing caregiver or maybe a domineering commander or something in between. Children are wonderful, but they can test our limits. And they refuse to be controlled. They set up your resources like a run. They use up all of your resources like a fire, and they never actually grow up. You ask an 88-year-old mom about her 60-year-old child, and she will tell you that she is a little worried about how he's going to grow up. It's a lifelong task, and one of the best places God invites us to be as we collaborate in creation. So we come to the baby. Today, we run with the shepherds to the manger to welcome the Christ child into the world and to congratulate Mary and Joseph, who are proud but pooped. They will never be the same, but then never will we. He is their firstborn, but he's not just their baby. He is our baby as well, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead. You see, Christmas is when we become new parents, every single one of us. It's about letting Jesus be born in your hearts, about giving birth to God's presence in the world. It's about nurturing the fragile spiritual life that is within each one of us. As Marcus Borg writes, when I was a child, I thought Christmas was about something that happened once upon a time. Now I see that Christmas speaks about what happens again and again and again. Christmas is about the birth of Christ in us. The story of Jesus' conception by the Spirit describes how it always happens. Christ is born in us through the union of the Holy Spirit of God with us. A line from the last stanza of O Little Town of Bethlehem expresses it when it says, "Be born in us today." And as a pastor and a parent, I realize the great difference between visiting parents of newborns and being the parent of a newborn. You can visit, you can share the joy, you can hold the baby, you can even change a diaper. You can even bring generous gifts or maybe a tuna casserole or to make ease the parents' burden just a little bit. But when you are the parent, the responsibility is on your shoulders. You get up in the middle of the night for a 2 o'clock feeding. You jump when the baby cries. You change diaper after diaper. You worry about paying for college education. You face your own mortality. The same difference exists between visiting the manger and experiencing Christmas. You can enjoy the beautiful visual delights, all the decorations, how they resonate with sweet sentiments of the season. You can give generous gifts to those that you love, even make some effort to lighten the load of some underprivileged or struggling person. You can sing a few songs. You can say a few prayers. You can think nice thoughts. It is romantic. It is sentimental. It is beautiful. But the next day, it's back to business as usual. But when you experience Christmas, when you are the parent of Christ newborn in your heart, you are never, ever, ever the same. Because the child takes over the household of your soul. If Christ is born in your heart, you can no longer participate in hating whole groups of people because of the color of their skin or some other accident of birth. If Christ is born in your heart, you can no longer ignore the struggle of the poor, the suffering of those who are innocent. If Christ is born in your heart, no matter what you feel at a given moment, you do what is necessary to make this world a fit place for Christ's presence, because he changes your entire perspective of life. You become more forgiving. You become more understanding, more loving. In other words, you become more aware of the suffering and pain caused by irresponsibility and evil, more protective of those who are fragile, the precious gift of life, not only your own, but all those that live in your community, here in New Smyrna Beach, here in Florida, here in the United States, here in the world. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation, a word that means into the flesh, and specifically refers to God entering human flesh to accomplish the divine objective of creating a new creation. That's why Christmas celebration of the Nativity is more than just a sentimental visit to a manger where Mary and Joseph lay their newborn baby once upon a time. You don't just sing a couple of songs. You join the choir. You don't just say a prayer or two. You become a person of prayer. You don't just share a gift with the poor. You become an advocate for those who are poor. Spiritual life is not romantic. Just like a baby, it is messy. It can be painful. It can be dangerous and real and totally absorbing. But it is essential. Nothing else can take its place. A spiritual life, nothing that you can do can carry you through all the crises and challenges of real life, like the Holy Spirit active in your life, the child born in you. So the good news of Christmas is not that God came to earth once upon a time, but God is here now. That is the good news. Ready to be born into our flesh, ready to unite with our lives that we might have the life of that which is abundant and eternal and real. So I invite you to do that. I invite you in these last days before Christmas Eve. By the way, if you're here Christmas Eve, I'll talk about the baby again, but I have a lot funnier stories than I do because I like Christmas Eve a lot. It's great. But this is serious because it is good to and right to enjoy the beauty and the sentiment of the season. Those are good things, but it's not enough. It will not see you through the days of your life that are ahead. So I invite you to experience Christmas, to let Jesus be born into your heart, into your soul, that as a parent of this newborn child of God within you, everything you do will center on making this world a nurturing place for the Spirit of God. And attend again the engaged and engrossing life of the Spirit so God is born in your flesh, born in the sense of coming to life, and born in the sense of being carried to others, and then you will experience in a new and profound way the gift of God's grace. That's what causes us to be able to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. And you will include yourself when you say, "And earth receive her King, let every heart prepare him room." Because finally, we come to the baby. And so I want to close these remarks with a poem, sort of. I wanted to do one by Cor Barendrecht, but since nobody seems to know who that person is, I'll use one that my former church secretary said, "Hey, you might want to think about this." It is someone you all know, Faith Hill, right? Anybody know Faith Hill? Okay. The title of it is simply, A Baby Changes Everything. Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared for what's to come, a baby changes everything. Not a ring on her hand, all her dreams and all her plans, a baby changes everything. A man she loves, she's never touched. How will she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. And she cries. Oh, she cries. She has to leave, go far away. Heaven knows she can't stay. A baby changes everything. She can feel it's coming soon. There's no place. There's no room. A baby changes everything. And she cries and she cries. Oh, she cries. Shepherds own, they got there. The star shines down. Choir of angels say, glory to the newborn king. A baby changes everything, 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 every day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My whole life is turned around. I was lost, and now I'm found. Because a baby changes everything. Let us pray. Be born into our hearts and homes this Christmas, O God. Let us be the parents of a new creation. Let us be transformed by the arrival of a new power and presence among us. And let your Spirit enter our flesh and walk the earth once again with forgiveness and love and hope and peace in the name of Jesus Christ. We make this prayer in the name of Christ. And as we do, we welcome you here. We sing with the angels, peace on earth, goodwill to all people. And in the name of Christ, we pray, be born in us today. Amen.